This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the best bits. This is the part one where I bring on a show member and we give you guys some behind the scenes. We talk about life and all kinds of things before we get into part two, which is just the bits. And I'm breaking down the best segments from the Bobby Bones show this week. Right now, this podcast right here is me talking to somebody else, though, and that somebody else is Mike D.
Hello, how are you?
And he has bright, shiny white teeth to show because his braces are off.
Yes, temporarily.
Temporarily, okay.
Yeah, so I really don't like talking about my teeth. I've never really put it out there, and it's weird seeing so many people comment now because I did post a video, and you can see that I have them off, but I have a whole long journey going on with my teeth. So they're off temporarily. Long story short, I'm going to have them back on. So
okay. Journey's not over yet.
Yeah, that's why I didn't post about it or say anything about it. I'm like, it's going to be really weird for people when I put them back on. Like, wait, what happened? But yeah, it's a thing I've dealt with my entire life.
Well, I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of. I mean, I was in braces, I think, for at least 8 years of my life. And then I had to get Invisalign because I never wore my retainer.
Basically, I never went to the dentist as a kid. And then as an adult, I went. I had the process started when I was living in Texas and then moved to Nashville. My dentist was still in Texas, have since retired.
Oh, gosh.
They did some things that weren't really like the thing they should have done to get my teeth to where they are. So now I have a whole new dentist, have a whole new plan that I'm starting here this next week. So I will be back in them probably this summer.
Awesome. Well, at least you get a little break in them, right?
It does feel really weird.
It does. I remember, you know, I'll tell you, when I first got my braces off, I had had them for so long and I had one tooth. So I had a gap on the left side of my mouth for probably 4 years where we were waiting. They were like, oh, the tooth will eventually come down. Well, we waited 4 years for it to never come down, and then they had to pull it down.
Yeah.
And so I had those for so long, braces for so long on that entire journey, that when I finally got them off, I cried. Not because I was happy, because I hated my teeth without the braces on. I had only known my teeth with braces. Yeah. So I saw them, and I was bawling. I was so mad. I was like, put them back on. So now obviously I love them and I love my teeth, but I mean, that moment, my mom was like mortified. She was like, are you kidding me? After all these years, you're crying because you hate your teeth?
I had a similar feeling, mainly because I knew I was going to have to get them put back on, but also like I struggle with, you know, having crooked teeth, and I felt like it's a little bit of a security blanket to have braces on because it's like, oh, they're on there. You're not really seeing what's behind them. So it was weird for me to get them taken off, and yeah, it just feels weird to see that. It just feels weird.
Yeah, they they feel slimy. Yeah. Like there used to be something there. Yeah, I totally get it. Well, nothing to be ashamed of, because I think majority of people have to have teeth stuff going on. There is not anyone that I know in my entire life that has never had to have it done, or they choose not to have it done, right? Like, nobody is birds with a perfect smile.
Yeah.
At least not that I've met. And if there's somebody out there like there, I think it's a unicorn.
Exactly.
But we have more to talk about. I just had to because you're smiling bright-eyed, and I was like, oh my gosh, they look amazing. So super excited, but there's your guys' update. So don't keep asking questions, right, Mike?
Yeah.
There's the update. We did have Chris Jansen on this week, so he's in at number 7. He came on and performed like 4 different songs, 2 of his big hits, 2 of his new songs, and it was super fun to hear from Chris. He's always really fun to have in studio, high energy, and of course, the beef with Lunchbox kind of got squashed, kind of caused more issues for listeners in a way with Lunchbox. So, but at least between Chris and Lunchbox, they're good for now.
It's settled for
now. Yeah, it's settled. But that's not what we're going to talk about right now. What I want to know is your favorite person, well, at least one of your top 3 favorite people on this earth, mm-hmm. is having a baby.
Yes.
Posty is having a baby.
I felt it was kind of exciting to me. Like, I don't really get excited about celebrities announcing that they're going to have a kid. But when he saw it and the statement he put out, like, it made me excited for him because it's kind of cool.
Is he dating someone and it's just low-key?
Yeah, very low-key.
Okay, so he is in a relationship and I'm just not aware of it?
Yeah, it has been for like a couple years.
Oh, nice. Like, long-term.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good for Posty. I mean, either way, even if it was just a baby and he was excited about it, that's cool, too.
It's cool,
but
too.
I didn't know if there was a girlfriend in the picture involved in all of this. So that's fun.
Yeah, he put out a statement saying that, you know, he had been sad his whole life and now has found some happiness. So I just felt like that aspect to it, to know the things he struggled with in the past, to now have something like that special, it just made me happy for him. And I don't even know him.
Oh, that was like your one time you were like, I'm actually excited for a celebrity.
Yeah.
I will say, too, like, watching, have you seen any of the Met Gala content?
Yes.
Okay. I have realized that, like, I don't really care, much like you, I don't really care about celebrity life. I have to know about it, and I'm aware of things, but I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could go my life without knowing. If I left this job, I could not pay attention.
Probably never look at it again.
Yeah, it'd be fine. But I was on TikTok, and I got into some deep holes on the Met Gala content. I couldn't help it. I was like, I was so far deep. I was like, this is so interesting, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I look forward to that, too, and I have no idea why.
I don't get it. I don't know if it's the outfits, if it's the drama that comes with people not wearing the right outfits or people yelling at each other. I don't know. I feel like there's always drama on the Met Gala steps. Especially, like, watching Kris Jenner, and she always, like, welcomes all of her daughters. Every year, apparently, that's a thing, which I'm like, okay, that's like main character energy from Kris Jenner taking the spotlight. But that's something that I feel like I didn't think I was into, and I apparently am. So besides Posty, is there something you think you don't care about? Just in general, life. It could be anything in life that you think you don't care about, and then you kind of find yourself like, oh, I actually do care about that.
Oh, if I don't care about something, I'm not invested in it at all.
I know, right? But yeah. Like, is there something that kind of like tricks you into thinking you didn't care about it, but then you did? Because that's how I feel about the Met Gala.
I mean, I don't think I have one.
It may come to you later, but I'm going to put that question on your mind for this podcast. Maybe by the end you have one. And I don't know, like, if there's others on my thing. No. Not in the specific category, but Met Gala is one. I do find it very interesting seeing celebrity lifestyles only on the Met Gala. Don't know why. Have no idea why. And I do adore Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. And maybe that's partially why, because they always steal the show. So if they were to have babies, much like you're with Posty, I'd be like, oh, that's so cool. But that's about the only person. Or unless it's like an unexpected pregnancy, those are my favorite.
I like it when they just... Hey, I had a baby.
Yeah, like Kane Brown and his wife. I was like, oh, they had a baby.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I love those. Those are like my favorite ones. So, yeah. So something to think on.
Okay.
For the rest of it, you're going to be like, I still have nothing. It's fine. That's okay. Also, this week on the show at number 6, I reviewed Shawshank Redemption. And every time Mike comes on, we got lots of movies and things mm-hmm. to talk about, which is always a good time because Mike is the expert in movies. He has Movie Mike, and he has his own podcast
that
all about
me.
That. But I want to know, I know you're kind of helping Bobby in this bit where we're making me watch old movies to review things, but if you had like a top 5 that you want me to watch,
that you haven't seen.
That I haven't seen.
Okay.
From 80s and 90s, in this realm of things that I'm having to watch that I've never seen before.
Classics, I would have to say, have you seen the original Jurassic Park?
No, I haven't. I've seen clips of it. I've never seen the full thing.
That is a really good one. That's like classic cinema for me.
Okay. And that's like what, 80s?
That Let's came see. Out in 94.
94. Okay, so it was a year after I was born. Yeah. All right. Okay, that's one.
I would have to say the original Batman.
Oh, which one's that?
With Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton. It was 89.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is that the one that has all the references? Or like, is that the TV show that has the references?
The TV show. Oh. It's the first. It's the one where Jack Nicholson plays the Joker.
Okay.
So he's kind of the one who made that role like a thing to play.
But you think I would end up potentially liking it, even though I wasn't a huge fan of the Batman?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's a totally different vibe.
Okay.
But I think if you do, because you do love superhero stuff.
I do.
That's one that I feel like you have to watch because it's a classic.
Okay. All right. We got two. We got three more to name because this could potentially happen down the line. We don't know. Because I assume you are helping Bobby pick movies. Or is he picking them? And hoping that I haven't seen them.
We are combining a list of things we think you haven't watched. Okay. And then,
okay. And to be fair, most of the things I've watched from the 80s or 90s, if I've seen them, are like rom-coms or romantic movies. So like Breakfast Club, I've seen it. The Rocky movies, I've seen those. But that's really, there's not a lot. Like that list isn't very long.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
I would go with Fight Club. Have you seen Fight Club?
Nobody talks about Fight Club? Is that from that?
That is from that.
I don't think I've actually seen it. I just know that movie. I don't think. Who's in it? Who's in Fight Club?
It is Brad Pitt and Edward Norton.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
Probably my favorite Brad Pitt movie.
Interesting. Okay. And I do feel like that's a pretty pop culture one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got three. We got two more, Mike.
And then I would go another movie from 1994, probably Pulp Fiction.
Oh, gosh, no. That's a thriller thing, isn't it? Yes.
It's not even a thriller.
It's a scary movie?
No, it's like a crime drama.
Mike?
Quentin Tarantino, so his style.
Okay, is it actually a thriller, though? Because if it is, I'm going to cry.
No, no thriller.
I hate... that's my alarm to some behind the scenes. I had to take a COVID test before we left for iHeart Country Festival, a little brop. Introduction, and it looks like a pregnancy test, but it's
it does.
Not. And I am negative for COVID. So
hey.
Great news on there. That was my alarm if you heard it. Okay, but I feel like I've heard Pulp Fiction is a like horror film in that category.
No, not a horror film. I feel like as I've done my podcast, people have different interpretations of what like genres are.
Okay.
So I would classify it as just like a crime drama. But I feel like when you sit down to watch a movie, you like things to make you feel good and happy. And anything related to any kind of violence has kind of a negative effect on you, which I find interesting. Like, I love that stuff. I love people in crazy situations, sometimes people getting hurt. Like, I find enjoyment out of watching things like that, that I could watch the most brutal thing ever. But I find enjoyment in it because it's escapism for me. I don't need I don't need to watch anything that makes me feel a certain way or like reflects like I need to watch something good. Like I can just watch the most horrible thing, and if it's done right, I enjoy it.
Oh yeah, no, I'm the exact opposite of that. If something makes you feel horrible, I feel horrible all day, and I carry that with me forever. It does not leave. That's why I like watching Shawshank Redemption. Like we talked about a little bit in the bit, but it was. So emotional, and why I couldn't watch it in one sitting is because, and spoiler alert, I mean, this movie's like 20 years old. So,
yeah, it's over the 20-year-old.
When the suicide happened, I was like, I don't think I can keep watching this. Like, I was like, I don't want to see that. Like, I know that happens. I've lost people to that. So when that scene happened, it was so emotional that I was like, I don't know that I'm going to make it through this movie. And so I finally, like, I was like, okay, I'm just going to, like, not, I'm going to turn it off. I watched an hour of it up until that point Friday night. And then Saturday morning, I woke up and I was like, okay, I have to finish the movie. And I did. But then, like, two more bad things happened. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I think I'm the opposite of you in that, like, I love feeling emotions, but I love feeling happy emotions. I love being, like, really joyful. So when something makes me feel very down, it, like, it takes me a while to come out of that. So, like, you could probably move on from it. Like, you can see the movie, you feel how you feel,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of go about your day. That's not me. I'm like the opposite. It'll take me like a week to get over that. So, but that's probably too why you also love like horror movies and stuff, I would imagine, because it doesn't like make you feel awful forever.
I just like watching anything that invokes any kind of emotion out of me, because I think that's the hardest thing to do, whether it be something that makes me laugh, something that makes me scared, something that makes me cry. Like, if I can watch anything that gives me any kind of feeling, that's a win.
Let me ask you this. Anger is a hard emotion to evoke from a movie. Like, you might feel mad.
Yeah.
But have you ever been super angry after watching something?
Yes.
What was it?
Just Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything where there's any kind of injustice or any kind of, like, crime drama like that, you will get angry while watching a movie, especially if it's based on a true story. You will watch something like that and think, like, how could this have ever happened? You get, like, riled up while you're watching it. And then if something else goes wrong in the movie, you want to yell or throw something at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, it probably takes something like that. Probably a true story is something that invokes anger.
Yeah, that one, there's two on Netflix that I watched that would be similar in that vein of giving you that anger reaction of injustice, which would be When They See Us, or it's about the Park Five.
Yes.
Guys, that one.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
I have seen that
one. It's like a limited series, I think. And then the other one that was a movie that they did that's based on a true story with that comedian guy that's in it.
Chicago Five?
Yes, the trial.
Sacha Baron Cohen, yeah.
Yes. Those three, I think, are in that kind of same vein.
Yeah, political dramas.
Mm-hmm.
Those will get you.
Yes, but you're right. Like, I would rather feel anger than terror. I think I would choose that. I think I would choose anger over terror.
Do you get scared from, like, a horror movie?
Yes.
Like, legit? Yeah.
Okay, here's the problem, though. This is my dad's fault. Because when I was a kid, he would come knock on my window and run away. And so I always thought somebody was outside of my window, like, watching me. I had all these nightmares that were associated with my dad pranking me. And so ever since then, like, I couldn't, like, live by myself. I was afraid of loud, like, noises if I was home alone. Like, I would be home. This is how bad it was, Mike. I would be home alone at my parents' house when I was, like, in high school. And I'd call them every time I heard, like, something crazy. I'd be like, guys, I heard something in the basement. I don't know what it is, but something's down there. And so as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit better, but I don't need to backtrack. And me backtracking would be watching horror movies to be back in that same space again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think I'm just a huge baby. I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think it will ever go into there.
Yeah, I mean, I started watching horror movies when I was probably like 7 or 8 years old.
Wild.
I remember like every Halloween, I would watch every single Halloween Michael Myers movie. And we never have nightmares or anything.
So crazy.
I just enjoyed it.
Did your parents like let you watch those, or did you kind of sneak watch them?
See, I had an older brother, older sister who were 7, 8 years older than me. So I kind of grew up always being a little bit more mature.
Mm.
And my parents, if like my brother and sister were going to watch it, I would probably watch it too. So yeah, I watched pretty much everything. So I'm kind of a weird like guidance whenever somebody's like, is that okay for kids? Like, I don't know. I watched it when I was like 8. I was watching horror movies and like South Park and stuff like that.
Well, to be fair, you turned out just fine.
I don't know. Maybe.
You're like, I don't know about that. You do have, what is it, the night sleeping thing that you had?
Sleep paralysis, yeah.
Yeah, so you did have that.
That's true.
There's a possibility that they are connected.
Maybe. Maybe I watched too many horror movies.
I don't think they're actually connected, but you know what I mean. I did look up Pulp Fiction, and the exact like summary of it is the lives of two mob hitmen, a boxer, a gangster, and his wife, and a pair of diner bandits intertwine in four tales of violence and redemption. Do you feel like that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, what's the coolest thing about it is like all the stories kind of unfold into each other. So it's a really big, I feel like it's a masterpiece, I feel.
Okay, well, I've always thought it was like a crime one, so I could be convinced to watch that one.
Yeah, I just worry or wonder if it holds up, because it did come out in 94. Some of the references and some of it, I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while.
See, and I do think, too, it's really funny to watch him from this perspective, having no like skin in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people take into account that when I'm watching something, I'm not trying not to like it. I'm just trying to watch it from this perspective right here.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm watching it and I'm seeing it right now in this moment, this is how it makes me feel. And so there was a lot of people that were up in arms about Austin Powers. And I'm like, guys, like, I'm watching this now when we've seen a lot of comedy come out and a lot of things that are hilarious and still, like, not cheesy, right? I've seen so much now that I have so many things to relate it to, whereas when people watched it back then, they didn't, right? Like, that's all they had to connect to a cheesy comedy. And so I have a different perspective in that sense.
It's also just weird to get assigned something to watch. You'll have a different mindset going into it.
Yeah. I remember when I had to watch the Godfather movies and I was like, this is terrible.
And also comedies are really hard because I think out of every movie genre, the hardest thing to do is make somebody laugh.
Yeah.
And I feel like there hasn't been a great comedy in like 10 years. So when it comes to things like Austin Powers, which came out in the 90s, it was a lot different then.
Yeah. The comedy genre in general was different back then. And it was very like, I don't even know the word you used to describe it, but like brass, just very like forthcoming. There was no like, there's no in, they're not insinuating anything. They're just saying it. And you're like, that's a lot. That's a lot to take on. But yeah, so I think people are just not realizing from that perspective too, when you're watching something at a later date. And I love Star Wars. Star Wars was a big one I watched. I didn't really love the first few movies, but I enjoyed them. I love what they offered to like pop culture, but I didn't, you know, then I had to compare them to the new Star Wars movies because I'm seeing them all at the same time. So I have a lot more going on in my brain than just like watching it for the first time and I have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
It's a different experience than just watching it for the first time when you were 10 years old. So just some perspective if you're going to give me crap for all my reviews that I do. One more. You had one more on that on the top five list.
I'll give you a comedy then. Have you seen Billy Madison?
Yes, okay. I have. I have watched most of Adam Sandler's like movies or his Billy Madison, what are his film, like, production, whatever
Happy
his thing
Madison,
is.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So you've seen that. Have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yes, I have.
Okay, then I'll go about Grandma's Boy.
I don't think I've seen Grandma's Boy. What is that one?
It's in that same Happy Madison production company.
Okay.
And it was, like, probably early 2000s.
And Adam Sandler's in it?
No, but it's just his production.
His production, okay.
But it's one of my favorite comedies. It's, I would say, a raunchier, kind of like stoner comedy.
Interesting.
But if we're going into something you haven't seen that'll make you laugh, that's a pretty good one.
Nice. Is it kind of like the Billy Thornton? He's in one where he's like a grandpa.
Bad Santa?
Yeah, something like that. Is it kind of like that? In that vein?
Kind of. It's about this dude who works at like a video game, like designing a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back to live with his grandma.
Interesting.
He gets kicked out.
Okay. You gotta love people when they live with their grandparents. It's always a good time to watch.
It's just one of those movies that I like reference just random quotes from. And I feel like also maybe a whole lot of people didn't see it.
Okay.
So I feel like it's an underrated comedy.
Underrated
Again,
comedy.
Rated R, raunchy, so probably not for everybody. But that's kind of the genre
we're checking into if you want to see some things. If you're on this journey with me,
yeah.
Here's five you can watch. Like, these are good ones. I have a feeling some of these are going to end up being assigned to me. Now, too, I want to talk about, like, we're, you know, obviously Shawshank Redemption, all of these are older movies in the 80s, 90s. What do you think is the best movie right now that's underrated? You had mentioned underrated.
I would say I just watched a movie in theaters called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And
interesting title.
Yes. And I feel people criticize movies right now because everybody's saying it's all reboots. It's all things that have been done before. It's nothing but sequels. It's nothing but another superhero movie. And I feel like this is the most original movie I've seen probably in the last 5 years. And completely new story, completely new characters. And it was one of the most entertaining theater experiences I've ever had because it's just, it felt like I had a dream come to life on the screen because it's about this woman who realizes she is living in kind of a multiverse, which is kind of a popular thing right now.
Yeah.
So there's all these other versions of her and she's trying to harness these newfound like kind of superpowers that she has. And it was so funny, but not like with jokes.
Okay.
Just in like the writing and the
really
dialogue.
Natural humor.
It was funny. Like everybody in the theater was laughing throughout the entire thing, but it wasn't something up there like trying to be some zany comedy. It was just so well done that it was just funny. And then visually, it was amazing. The story was great, even though it is this big, like, kind of superpower kung fu type movie. At the end of it, the story is pretty universal, that it gets you to like this emotional level. So it really had everything I could ever want in a movie. And I feel like not a whole lot of people talked about it. It's an independent movie, but it's still making pretty good money for an independent movie. Might be one of the biggest ones from this production company. So I feel like when people say there's no original movies, like, you're missing out on one in theaters right now.
They're just not looking for them, yeah. Right? That's what's happening.
If there's not a big actor in it, or there's not, you know, some superhero attached to it, people don't gravitate towards it. And I, being a movie guy, I always try to promote the newest movies coming out now. I love modern cinema, and I try to be like a voice for that, because I mean, even Bobby sometimes talks about like people not liking or caring about movies anymore. I'm like, dude, I do a movie podcast.
You're
yes,
like,
I
you
do.
Can't say that.
You're just not paying attention.
I do. I think I would say movies, TV shows, and food are all in the same category, and that it's hard for people to argue intensely about them. They mm-hmm. might disagree
yeah.
or agree, but like, it's a pretty neutral topic.
Yeah.
And everybody loves to hear about it. So,
and I also just feel like the way we take things in now when it comes to entertainment, it's all changed. Like, I know mm-hmm. everybody talks about like wanting to start a new TV show, but I feel even now the TV shows people watch are really just longer movies, just broken into like episodes that are just, it's just a longer movie broken in. Like, the whole story is like one season is basically one long movie now
yeah.
for certain types of shows.
Well,
so,
like all the limited series.
Yeah,
the
that's
yeah.
a long movie.
Yeah.
And the thing that I hate the most is people who criticize long, like run times, like not starting a movie because of the runtime, but you'll watch 8 episodes of a show and not think twice about it. And you can watch a movie and like, you don't have to sit down and watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a 2-hour, 2.5-hour movie, I'll watch an hour now, I'll watch an hour later, 30. Like, you can break it up. Nobody's saying you have to watch a movie in the traditional way of sitting down start to finish, because that's what we've done forever.
Yeah. Hey, Shawshank Redemption. That's yeah. what I did.
I rewatched The Batman, which is a 3-hour movie, but I did like an hour. I broke it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that has an issue with long movies, but I don't let it stop me from watching something.
Yeah.
I will still watch it, but I'll be like, okay, this is a little long. Maybe you take a break. Let me go pee real quick or whatever. But like, it doesn't deter me from watching a movie. It just will deter me at the end to see if I'm going to recommend it to someone. Yeah. Is more of what happens.
I think it's a psychological thing more than anything.
If you go to click
something and you see it's 2 hours, well, I'm not starting that. Just watch 30 minutes. And if you don't like it, turn it off.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, though, I have a problem, Mike.
Okay.
All these streaming services, they put it up there easily for you so you can go back and watch what you've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
But if something sits in there, it bothers me so bad. I like it. You know how it
you
says on Netflix? Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Like on Netflix, it's like, continue watching. I'll have like, my boyfriend will start something random. And I'm like, you put it in there. Now it's in there. And I'm never going to watch it. Like, he'll start an anime show. And I'll be like, okay, cool, but you didn't finish it. And now it's sitting in my continue to watch. And I don't know why that's a thing for me. So that's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like, but I have realized, like, you know, pro tip, if anybody is like me on that, on Netflix, you can go on like your app on your phone and remove them.
Oh, okay.
And then they don't show up on your TV one. So like, there'll be things that I haven't finished watching. I'm like, oh, I didn't really like that. And I'll just go clear it out on there, because then it doesn't keep showing up for me. Don't ask me why that's a thing. I don't know.
I get that. I feel like I used to have that, but I've worked past it. So you can get there.
I keep trying. I keep trying to just let them sit there. But if it gets accumulated, like a lot of them, I'm like, nope, this has got to go. Like, I can deal with like a few, 4 or 5. But when there's like 10 in there, I'm like, nope, I got to go. Or I'll use my Apple TV remote to go all the way to the end. So it ends the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes away. This super weird habit, I know. But yeah, I will mention before we keep jumping into more, we have a lot more to talk about. Secrets of Dumbledore. I see some hate from it from the Harry Potter world online, and I don't get it. Have you seen that yet? I
haven't seen it yet.
I know you're not a huge Harry Potter fan. Have you seen the Harry Potter movies?
I am. I love the original Harry Potters. I just never really got into
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, I love the first one. The second one didn't really make me want to see the third one.
Fair. And they are all like connected in their whole like universe, the way of how it's the prequels of Harry Potter. But I loved Secrets of Dumbledore. I laughed. I cried. I was definitely traumatized. I also got hate for saying I was traumatized. I'm like, listen, I'm an empath. It's just part of my way of watching a movie. But I do. I think there's a lot of people giving hate for it, and it's really good. I enjoyed Jude Law in it as Dumbledore, and it wrapped up the whole kind of series of that really well. I don't think there's supposed to be another one, at least that I've heard of. But I will say it's one that's up there. I don't think it got a very good score on Rotten Tomatoes either, which is interesting to me because there's a scene also in this movie with Eddie Raymond.
Redmayne.
I never pronounced his last name right. He's so good, by the way. Him and the actor who plays his brother in the movie, they're really great. But there's a scene in there that I literally cried until I had tears during this movie because of how great his acting is in playing the person that he plays. So I say give it a try if you're a Fantastic Beasts fan. And I had two girlfriends go with me that didn't see the other two movies. So they enjoyed it. They had no idea really like the connections of everything. And there's a lot of Harry Potter Easter eggs in it, which was really cool, which I had not seen in the first two kind of Fantastic Beasts before. They mention Hogwarts and they talk about it. But in this last one, there's like full on Harry Potter Easter eggs. And I'm like, yes, we are finally connecting everything together. So I say give it a try.
It's still on my list, so I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think I'm interested to see because you and I always have some opposing opinions, which we are going to get to later in this podcast about one thing, our opposing opinions on. But it's funny because there's some that we both really like, but there's at least a couple out there that you and I disagree on.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
I enjoy it. I think it's hilarious. But I would be interested to see what you think of this one.
I'll check it out.
Then we had coming in at number five, Lunchbox shared a phone call he had with his, I'm using quotation marks, you can't see them, agent, about his movie role that the listener asked him to come and do. Funny call. It was a great time. Listen, Lunchbox, I'm going to admit it. Like, he's been on a roll lately. He's making me laugh.
That's why he won Employee of the Month.
Yes, like, he's killing it. Everybody gives him a hard time on the internet, I know. But he's been bringing the content lately, so I got to give him some props. Might be the only time you ever hear me say that. I want to know if you had anything super cool happen to you recently or super exciting or something you want to share. You want to do a little humble brag either on yourself or someone in your life?
I think the most exciting thing I have going on right now is we're about to celebrate our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And 1 year went by really quick. And we're in the process now of like finding what gifts we are going to get each other, mm-hmm. which I feel like this one will probably be like the main one that we celebrate. I think we're like first year and then like 5, 10.
You'll do like the increments instead of every year?
Yeah, because I think this one feels the most special just because the first time, first anniversary. And before, we would celebrate like all our other, you know, like our dating anniversary, the day we met, the day we got engaged. I think after this one, we just celebrate the wedding anniversary.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's, I don't know. I remember when I talked about that we celebrated our engagement anniversary, people were like, why would you celebrate that? I was like, well, we like celebrating everything. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's fun to go back and remember that. And I think in the last couple years, I've learned you should celebrate even the little things. I was like, why not celebrate when we had our first date?
So maybe it's now more of an acknowledgement of those other ones. And this is just the big actual celebration. There's gifts involved. Maybe you do something for it.
Yeah.
And the other ones you kind of like acknowledge. Maybe there's like you guys have a date night planned.
Yeah, I think we still do something like that. Not so much of like, oh, we get each other
a full out celebration
4 times a year or anything. But I feel like it's important to celebrate even, yes, the big things like the anniversaries, but also like the smaller things, even if it's special just to you. I think there's no harm in that.
Well, let me like look at this on a calendar, right? You got Valentine's Day mm-hmm. and you got Christmas. Those are two like automatic gift giving holidays.
Yeah.
Then you got the person's birthday. We got three.
And my wife's birthday is like right after Christmas at the start of the year.
Okay.
So I find it easy. Sometimes I'll just like start gathering a list of things I know she's going to like. And then I kind of pick which one I'm going to do for Christmas, which one to keep for her birthday. So I just don't want to show like more like here's all the gifts for this one and then kind of forget about the birthday.
Do you try and make him like even try on the price too?
I'm like, okay, I'll get these things and then this one will go here, this one will go there. Okay, perfect. Because it does kind of suck having a birthday around a holiday like Christmas mm-hmm. and you get maybe a birthday gift and then you get a not so great Christmas gift.
Yep.
Like you couldn't decide when you were born. It's just how it is.
I know that it is tough too. Okay. So, well, yeah, you have all of those right now.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Valentine's Day is like a month and a half later after that too. So then you have your marriage anniversary. Mm-hmm. We've got four. And what are the other ones that you guys were celebrating?
Our first date was, it just passed at the start of May.
Okay, so first date.
When we got engaged was in October.
Engagement anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all of them.
Okay, so if you guys actually celebrated all of those, it would be six. That would be gifts 6 times. You would literally be giving gifts for half of the year.
Year round, yes.
Wow. I don't think there's any other holidays that I can think of that you give gifts. I mean, you got Thanksgiving, Halloween, July 4th. None of those are really gifts giving, I don't think, unless y'all do some fun things out there.
I've learned that her family does like Easter like basket gifts.
Oh, yeah, that's one.
Which I didn't know. Like, I didn't have an Easter basket growing up, and it's a whole new concept to me. But her mom like wanted to get us like gifts like that in a basket. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how to accept this.
You're like, I don't know what an Easter basket is.
She comes from a family. They love giving gifts.
Mm. So they are, that is their love language.
Yes.
Giving gifts.
And mine is awkwardness receiving gifts.
You're like, thanks. I did not know this was coming. But honestly, gifts in general are just, it's just awkward, right? You kind of like just take it for what it is and you're like, okay, we're just going to do it. Because it is awkward. Regardless of who it is, it could be your best person in the entire world and you're still like, okay, am I going to like it? I hope I like it. This is going to be awkward if I don't.
The thing is, it could be something that I really like and like have wanted, and I get it, and it's still awkward to me.
You're like, oh, thanks.
Oh, this is exactly what I want. This is great. And it is great. Yeah. But it's just an awkward thing.
That's okay. I've gotten used to that. My boyfriend is, he's not like super emotional. He's not one of those guys that like can wear his heart on his sleeve. Whereas you know me, I wear everything on my sleeve. It's all out there. Everything is pretty much out there. So when we do gifts, he's like, okay, this is cool. And we kind of go about our day. When I get one, I'm like, this is awesome. This is the best thing. You could give me a freaking French fry and I would say the same thing, because that is just genuinely how I feel. I love like receiving things because I'm such a giver, mm-hmm. that when I receive things, I'm telling you, give me a balloon, I'm going to be happy about it. So it's funny in that we do like similar to what you were talking about. There is not much emotion that comes out of that. I'm like, what happens like maybe one day we do decide to get married again? Are you going to cry? Is there going to be emotion there? And he's like, I mean, yeah, I would anticipate that would happen. I'm like, well, why isn't there right now? I'm giving you a really cool gift. I don't understand. So you guys would probably connect in that way.
Yeah. Does your boyfriend like practical gifts?
Yeah. I mean, he likes gifts in general. Like he likes them all, but okay. It's just very like, things are just very matter of fact to him. It just kind of is what it is.
I think that's why it's hard for my wife to get me gifts, because I like super practical, boring stuff.
So like socks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Socks, a hat, underwear, stuff like that that I'm going to use. I'll like that just as much as something fancy.
Yes. I feel that same way. I feel like I'd rather be able to use it than it sit somewhere and I can't do anything mm-hmm. with it. Unless it's something that was like so creative and so out of the box, you're like, okay, yeah, this is so cool. But not often does that happen.
Yeah. I also just have a weird thing with like material things. And I don't know if it's the way I grew up, but I don't really like lean towards expensive things. I don't have a drive to have those kinds of things. I feel like I'm kind of a minimalist.
Yeah.
Like I don't need a whole lot of things. I need the basics. If I'm going to buy something that is expensive, it's like a tool I'm going to use, like a computer, a laptop, a tablet. That's like the only, like if I can get use out of it, that's what I'm drawn to. Mm-hmm. But anything else like that, I don't like having possessions. Like,
so then when you give gifts to, do you give them in a sense that they can use them?
I try to. I think I always kind of lean towards like, how many uses are they going to get out of this? Like, will they actually use this? That's kind of my win. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's harder to buy gifts. I'm like, as long as they use it once, that's the goal. Yep,
that's true. But when you spend like, I don't know, $150 on something, you're like, I hope you use it more than once. I get that though. That makes sense. And that's super exciting for you guys right now. So when is that date? Do you want to share or not share?
Yeah, June 5th.
Okay.
So it's coming up.
It's very close. We are recording this literally a month away.
Yeah, literally.
Wow. Okay. Do you have a date plan besides the gift side of things? Do you guys have like an evening plan?
We're still planning that side of it, yeah.
Together, or do you want to surprise her or her surprise you?
I think we'll plan it together. Mm-hmm. At least like the dinner aspect of it and the activity. And nice. Then maybe throw in a surprise.
Yeah, a little somewhere in there. A little maybe a puppy?
No, not yet.
You're like, no, we're not ready for that, Morgan. Don't put that out there. Oh, man. Well, on my side, I want to shout out my sister, Sarah. She is my second oldest sister, and she teaches. It was Teacher Appreciation Week this past week. And she teaches at the Wichita schools, and she got a shopping spree from Walmart. Her and her teacher, there's only two of them in her grade level there, they each got $500 to go spend on whatever they want at Walmart.
Nice.
Just for being a great teacher. Like, how cool is that from Walmart? Like, so shout out to my sister, who is an incredible teacher, and she loves what she does. But also on Walmart for, like, recognizing that teachers spend so much of their own money on supplies. And being like, here's a gift card. They also gave them like memberships to Walmart Plus, like their thing that they have mm-hmm. to do free shipping and all that cool stuff. So, I mean, just shout outs all around, because I think that's super cool. And not enough teachers get enough recognition or money to do all of the things that they do all the time. So I wanted to shout that out for sure. And also shout out Remy, because we went to another therapy assignment, different than our usual retirement home one. We went to Vanderbilt, and we went and visited with some college students who were finishing their finals. And, man, they loved seeing Remy so much. Some of them, like, sat outside with her for over an hour. It was the cutest thing. We were sitting in, like, this little plaza area. There's It was like a powwow of college students. Remy's in the middle of it. They're all giving her treats all over the place. And she's wagging her tail. She's getting pets. She was so tired. She snored so hard when we got home after that. But they were so happy. And I don't, you know, I just don't think I realized how much pet therapy was going to impact other people. Even things that you don't think about will impact. Like, I know when we go to the retirement home how beneficial it is for them and for her. But when you go to a college campus, it's not what you're thinking. And they, like, walked away. They're like, thank you. Like, you just changed the course of my week. And that was really cool. It was a cool moment. Not to mention also, too, some of the college students, they taught me about a new app.
What app?
I felt very old. Like, for the first time in my life, you know, normally I come into the studio, I feel like the young one, right? I went into the situation, I was old compared to them. It's an app called Be Real, like literally B-E-R-E-A-L. And it's like if you were to combine Snapchat and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently all these college kids are using it. I've never even heard of it. But the app sends them a notification. They have 2 minutes to take a photo of whatever they're doing right in that moment. And as soon as they take the photo, it gets posted and all their friends can see it. And then it goes away after that. Like, interesting for college students.
Yeah.
I don't know that that works in, like, my daily life. Somebody's going to get a lot of pictures of me working or eating food. It's not that exciting, but I thought it was cool. And I thought it was an interesting experience and a little bit of role reversal for me.
Yeah.
So have you felt old at all lately in doing anything? Has anything made you feel old?
Yeah, I think turning 30 is, I've felt it for the first time. Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing now, but it comes probably whenever, like, a music festival gets announced and I'm starting to know, like, less and less of, like, some of the headliners.
Like, all of your artists are becoming classics?
Yeah. Like, there's like an emo night happening in town here, and it's, like, all the bands that, like, I listened to growing up. And now it's kind of viewed as, like, oh, it's like a 20 years later thing.
Oh, man. Yeah, that hurts.
And I'm like, I still have a lot of those, like, on regular rotation.
Yeah. It burns when that happens, right?
Yeah. At some point, it stopped being, I guess, cool, which I never really cared about. But it stopped being, like, relevant. And now it's kind of like the retro vintage thing.
That you never, listen, I will say my dentist, who's, I think, in his 50s, somewhere around there. But he was like, it's never old. It's always vintage. We are vintage humans. And I'm like, you know, I would agree with that. I think that's a great perspective to look on getting older. You're vintage. You're still really cool, but you just got a lot of life on you. Right? Like, different perspective of looking at it. I mean, I'm not vintage yet. You're not vintage yet. We're getting there, but not quite. So, and I do want to talk about, too, we had on the show this week coming in at number 3 was rejected segments. I mean, listen, this is always a funny one. There was a lot that drama happens with rejected segments because it's like your bit's being used, but it's being used in rejected segments.
In a negative way, yeah.
Yeah. Not the best feeling. But there is one that didn't make it that you had mentioned, and I want you to share the one that's a bonus rejected segment.
So we got an email saying that they're clearing out stuff here in the building because they're moving.
Oh, yes.
And they're like, there's a dumpster set out front. Just throw stuff in there. Just aim carefully, but that's how we can get rid of it. Just throw it from the second story into the dumpster. So my idea was turning it into, like, kind of a game of, like, putting lunchbox out there and then having him throw things into the dumpster. Or the other way I pitched it of, like, the last time we had Amy destroy the TV, like, a way to get out aggression, we get a pile of things for her to throw into the dumpster and see if they...
That would be great. We could still do that as a visual bit.
I think that's what it was. It's a little bit more visual. When you hear it, you just hear something crashing. You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I was trying to find, like, that other little missing piece of it to make it a good bit for the show, but it was so visual, got rejected.
Well, it could have been the... Did you ever do this in school? So there was in my science class, and wow, you just unlocked this memory in my brain, where you had an egg, and you could use whatever tools you wanted to wrap that egg, and you would drop it from a certain point, and whoever's egg, like, didn't crack or didn't get destroyed on the ground, like, got an A on the project. And so we could have done it where we all had to use our own supplies to throw an egg and see who actually was smart enough to not get their egg to smash. Dang, that could have been something.
That's pretty good.
That could still be something. We still have that.
Yeah, we could still do that there or off the parking garage.
Exactly. I mean, I remember that day. Like, I think there was only like one or two people that actually had their egg make it, because you have to like, you have to put in some work to protect that egg.
Yeah.
So I think that could be funny. You just can use the resources that you have at your house, whatever's at your house, to protect your egg. It's going into the trash.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. There. We just needed to spin it off there a little bit. But still might be a little too visual. I don't know. I do think very visually. So it is hard for me sometimes when we send in. You know, part of the behind the scenes of the show that you guys don't always get to see is that we send in show prep every night to, you know, about our personal life and news stories. And it all goes to Mike and Bobby, and they figure out what's going to happen, what we're going to talk about on the show. And I'm very visual when I like to do my show prep. I think of it from a digital aspect sometimes. I'm like, well, I guess that didn't really make sense for radio, because you're not really going to see what's happening. So I'm guilty of that often, of sitting in visual things. I've tried really hard, but so much of me, like, I'm a visual learner. I'm a visual speaker. And like everything about me, I just see it instead of hearing it. I'm not big on audio, which is interesting that my job is in radio. But yeah, and two, like, we have kind of transitioned with the best bits in utilizing like some of the things we've already talked about, and some of the things we still have to talk about came from our rejected segments that don't even make it in rejected segments. They just don't get used.
Yeah, there's also that stack.
Yeah, and there's like this whole stack of them that don't ever get used. So we try to utilize them on the best bits, but there's still so much, because I'm only bringing y'all in like on a rotation of every other month or every couple weeks or so. So like there's like 5 weeks of show prep that maybe didn't get used of yours that we didn't get to talk about, but we got to talk about this week's that didn't get used. So that's kind of a behind the scenes for you guys. You guys are hearing the double rejected segments during the best bits. But you guys like it, so that's okay. It's working. And then we had at number three, I messed up. Rejected segments is at number four. It's fine. You're not listening to the bits anyway right now. But at number three, Amy talked about her acting role. She gave us some details about what happened in Hollywood, where the streaming service is, what kind of movie it is. As much as she could tell us, she told us. So we got that update. And now we got a hot take from Mike, because there's a TV show he doesn't like and I like.
Yeah. You had recommended Moon Knight to me, which I told you before that I had been kind of getting tired of all the Marvel shows, because there's so many.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's a lot to keep up with all the movies, which I love. But when it comes to the TV shows, it's a big investment. It's 8 episodes. And sometimes when they get announced now, I'm like, now I got to watch another one, because it'd be going to be connected to another movie. Yep. And it just feels like a lot of intertwining. So I watched Moon Knight.
All of it.
Yes, all of it now.
Okay.
And it wasn't my favorite. And
interesting.
Within like the first couple episodes, I was like, I'm waiting for this to get a little bit better.
Oh, man. So you didn't like it?
I didn't like it a whole lot. And I don't know if it was because of the character, because of a lot of like the back and forth. But there was just nothing that really drew me to the character. And I kind of feel like I'm a little bit of a victim of it being overhyped. Because I did see a lot of people posting it. Every episode would come out and get great reviews. I just didn't feel the emotional attachment to it, which is what I kind of look for when it comes to any kind of superhero. I want that like human element a little bit more. And while it was really cool visually, the action was great, there was just something kind of lacking for me to really be a show that I couldn't wait for the next episode.
Interesting. So you kind of liked it, but just not a lot.
Yeah. I think compared to all the other Marvel shows, I'd probably put it towards the bottom.
Dang. I mean, here's my thing. When I was watching it, I was so fascinated with the acting abilities of the main three characters, especially towards the later episodes. Like the way that they transition so easily and so like quickly. I think I just sat there in awe watching how talented they were. That was a big part of that for me, that they were able to do that so well and so quickly. Like, obviously, there's not like multiple takes happening. This is in one scene and you're watching this happen and you're like, how did they even do that? And you're missing things until the end and you're catching up and you're like, oh, my gosh. And you start putting all the pieces together. I was fascinated by that. And that's where so I didn't have like the emotional connection to him, because I don't have what he has, right? Mm-hmm. But I had an emotional connection because I was so fascinated with how they were able to do it so well and like execute their characters. Mm-hmm. That then on top of that, all of the acting scenes and how it all, like how they tied into this whole different world too, like we've never seen in the Marvel universe, like this Egyptian side of things. And so I was really fascinated by it, but I'm so bummed you did not like it.
I think it's also the visual aspect of it too, because it is cool to see, but I kind of lean more towards like practical effects. And when the entire character is CGI, like it feels more fantasy to me, and I love fantasy, but it just didn't really feel grounded anywhere.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, I would like, I would say it's one of my top three. I still think WandaVision is probably the best one.
I would agree. Yeah. I'd put that one in number one.
Yeah. And then maybe Loki. But I don't know, Loki and Moon Knight compete for me. So, because they're just so different. Them being different than what the rest of Marvel has shown us already, I think is what made it so cool.
Yeah.
That's why I loved it. Because, watching Hawkeye, Falcon, and the Winter Soldier, which I also enjoyed, we've met all the characters before, right? So Moon Knight was the first time it was like this new character we have not learned anything about besides an after scene in one of the movies. I don't even remember which after scene it was. So like getting to see this whole side, that now I'm excited to see how they try and incorporate him and what happens. Did you watch the end credit scene on the last episode?
I don't think I did.
Oh,
I'm kind of tired of the end credit scenes too.
And
listen, I'm a big Marvel fan. Like I love Marvel, but there's a little things that are just like, we need another end credit scene.
But they all connect. They're extra information, especially in Moon Knight. This is a big part.
Yeah, but I just feel like it feels a little bit cheap to me now, putting in the end credit scene. Because it's like, I just watched this entire TV show, this entire movie, and the most important thing is in this post credit scene, and it's supposed to hype me up to watch the next thing. Like, just put it in the show. Put it in the movie.
Yeah, you're not wrong in that. But it has been Marvel's thing, right? They have to keep going with their thing.
Yeah,
to set
I just
them
feel
apart.
Like it's always the same. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, there's this one mysterious character. He does something. Oh crap, it's gonna be a okay, we know there's gonna be a sequel. Like, I don't need it anymore.
You know what I'm hearing, Mike? I hear that you're very burnt out on superhero
well,
stuff.
Well, I mean, I've seen like there's like 30 of them now.
Yeah. There has been a lot being released this year. Like, I mean, tonight it's our tradition, my boyfriend and I's tradition, to go see all the new Marvel movies on mm-hmm. the Thursday night that they come out. Mostly because I'm on social media that I can't avoid spoilers. Which sucks for me. Cool of Marvel, though, I realize they turn off their comments during premiere weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can spoil, at least on their Instagram page, which is a really cool idea. But obviously you can't turn that off on everybody else's and all the fandoms and everything else that pop up. So yeah, we are going to see that tonight. And you know what, Mike? I'm going to sit there for all the end credit scenes that they give me.
I leave now.
Oh, like,
No, I'll watch it later on YouTube.
Dang, you don't even enjoy it in that moment?
No, I'm good.
Man, if there's one Marvel thing that I would skip this year, it'd be Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one for me that didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I don't really like that one either.
You know what? See, we can agree on some, others we can't.
The one I am excited about that just got announced recently is they're coming out with the first Latin American superhero, and its name is El Muerto, and Bad Bunny is playing him.
Oh, yeah, in Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting for me. I've always wanted a Mexican superhero.
Which will be really cool. Is there really not any others in the universe?
As a lead, no.
Okay.
And in the comic books, he's from Mexico. Bad Bunny's Puerto Rican. I don't know if they're going to make him Puerto Rican, but yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's what was cool about Moon Knight is the girl who... she is one of the first, like, Egyptian
mm-hmm.
in the Marvel Universe. I think Egyptian is the right one. I think that's what she is. Either that character is the first in Marvel. So it goes in your thing that you like, and you still don't like it. Oh, man. I'm not going to be bitter, but I am kind of bitter because you do really like it. But I am curious what other people think, because there is a lot of CGI in it that does add a different level of who ends up liking it and who doesn't,
yeah.
For sure.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So, man, I won't hate you too bad.
Okay.
I'm glad we at least agreed on some things. Everyone loves to hear this segment that happens once a month. It's Employee of the Month, and we had our Employee of the Month chosen for April, which you might have heard. If you're paying attention to this podcast, we gave a little bit of a sneak peek away, but I anticipate that you have probably already figured out who our Employee of the Month is. Just based on social posts and everything like that. So there's that. I'm just going to leave that there. And what I want to do right now is play a game with Mike, because Mike always does the games on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I sent these in and I feel like it's interesting. And so I want to know if Mike knows them. And he probably is going to know all of them correctly.
Okay.
But that's fine. Can you guess, or fill in the blank, I guess, these super common phrases? Okay.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Time flies when you're having
fun.
You're right. This is not starting off well for me. Don't worry, it's a piece of
cake.
Ah, did you play this already?
No.
Don't get bent out of
shape.
I'm so interested if people are going to listen to this and be like, that's not what it is. Hey, cut some
cheese.
No, slack. I should have said them. Hey, cut them some.
Oh, yeah, I said slack.
No, I take it. Is there a win for me? You really hit the blank on the head.
Nail.
Yeah. Back to square
one.
Good things come to those who...
Wait.
Gosh. They have bigger blank to fry.
Fish.
Huh. Once in a blank moon.
Blue.
You're right. Okay, you got them all. That was not exciting for me. I am so interested to know, though, like, you know how there's so many common phrases? If people have ones that aren't actually the right ones that they constantly use?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any like that?
Yeah, I always thought it was nip it in the butt.
Yeah, not nip it in the bud.
Bud, yeah.
Yeah, that's one.
The other one was, I don't know why I thought this, but whenever somebody is trying to make ends meet, I thought it was meat, like the actual like cow meat or something.
You didn't, like M-E-E-T?
I thought it was that you're struggling, you don't have enough money, so you're trying to get some kind of meat.
Interesting.
And then I was like, oh, it's ends meet, like, the ends actually come together. And
yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There. I do think too, like, I think some people are going to hear these and when you say those answers, they're going to be like, I don't think those are right. Because so many different region areas have their kind of own phrases.
Mm-hmm.
interesting debate here. Do you feel like bless your heart is a nice saying?
No, I bet it's a little condescending.
Yes, exactly. I still remember this very vividly when Morgan and Hillary both worked for the show. We had a huge debate about this because they both were like, no, it's meant to be like, oh, bless your heart. Like, that's nice. Like, they're looking out for you. I'm like, no, absolutely not. If somebody says bless your heart to me, they are not being kind to me. And I have always felt that way. And I've seen it. Like, I will see it in movies. I will see it in TV shows. I'll see it on the internet. People say bless your heart. And not once have I ever seen it show up in a nice way.
Yeah. I've heard the reasoning why it's like used in an endearing way. Like, oh, it's just the phrase we say. But every situation I've heard it in, it's like, oh, you dummy.
Exactly. Like, if somebody's doing something bad and you're trying to be nice to them, it's like, oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, like you have no brain cells.
Yeah, like you're so dumb. Oh, yeah. So, you know what? Hey, another thing we agree on, Mike.
There you go.
We just have to step away from movies and TV shows. Oh, man. I don't even think I have any, like, phrases that I use. I do say words are hard a lot because I mess up a lot of words. But that's about the only phrase that I use. Do you have any phrases that you use often that you don't realize you use?
I think after I corrected those, I was good.
You don't have them anymore. Yeah. Some people end up having like a phrase or a word that they say often and they don't realize they say it very often. I used to say literally a lot. And then I realized Bobby hated that. So I was never allowed to say that on air. So I stopped saying it.
Literally.
Yes. That was one. But yeah, that was about it. Well, this is why you write the games.
I feel like I'm also like super trained to, if anybody presents me with a game, it's something I've either already thought of or...
Yeah, that's true. You've had many years of this that you've been trying to come up with content every single day. You're like, ah, oh, we've done that before.
I feel like I just have like easy trivia questions embedded in my head like forever.
Listen, if you keep putting Bible questions in easy trivia, I'm going to fail. I got so lucky this week. I didn't win still, but that doesn't say much though, because you could put about any category in there, Mike, and I'm screwed. I've realized too in my life, I don't have good long-term memory. I'm really good with short-term and I'm really good at remembering things like from a past year. But if you like go past that for me, no, probably not going to remember it. And it's just funny too, because like I was a straight A student. I did so good, but it's because I would study so hard and then I'd take that test and then all that information was gone. Never remember it again. So this is why I suck at easy trivia. All that to say, that's why I suck at easy trivia. It's actually because my memory sucks. And any game for that matter is just, I really have a terrible memory. Unless for some reason it's been brought, like it's really funny. If you pay attention to our show, there are sometimes context clues, right? There'll be an easy trivia that comes up. I'm like, oh my God, we talked about that. Something we talked about on the show. I remember this.
Yeah. If you pay attention, that's how my brain works when I come up with the questions.
See?
I pull them from things that we've either referenced or sometimes within the game, if you pay attention to the next person question before you, there's a hint to your question.
Yeah. So. I've started figuring, listen, I need every help I can get because it's not often I'm going to win these games. So I have at least started, like, I pay attention to the show because I do have to, like, basically take the show and put it digitally, right? So I know what's happening on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they don't connect. Sometimes my pieces don't connect. But I have realized that they are intertwined in a way. So I am trying to pay more attention, especially if we talk about, like, classic rock, okay? We start talking about classic rock, I'm like, okay, give me the lowdown because I don't know anything. But then I might be able to use one of those to my advantage. And then it always shocks Bobby and Eddie when I get things correctly. And I'm like, I remember that one. You guys talked about that one. Just a little peek into how both Mike and I's brains work when we do show stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Elder versus Millennial too. That one. Those get me often. But then, you know what? Number one, we had such a really cool moment on the show that was so organic, not planned at all. Sixth grader Reese called into the show. She wanted Jason Aldean to come perform a duet with her at a talent show. And obviously that couldn't happen. But Bobby's like, you know, maybe Jason can do a video for you. And Jason happened to hear it. And it was just a super cool moment. And Bobby mentioned on the show this week, too, the times he'll always get requests for things. So I think, too, when we do these, as much as I love them, I saw our social media the next day and I was like, oh, my Atlanta.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Everybody thinks we can do everything. And I'm like, guys, you realize for the one person that's doing that, there's 50 more of them. Especially if we do stuff on GoFundMes. If we ever say somebody calls in and we do something with a GoFundMe and we do our crazy thing where everybody starts donating money, right? I swear I'll get GoFundMes for like 4 weeks after that. It's like, you guys did this. So like, can you help me with this? And I'm like, I would love to help all of you. Like, I would love to. But if we help one, it is like almost immediately after everybody wants us to help them on every front.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it makes you not want to help in a way. But you're like, I want to help you, but this is a lot for us to handle.
I mean, we would do them all if we could.
Right? Like, I'm like, yeah, I see. Oh, my gosh. The ones that, like, hurt my heart or when they send me are like, they're, if a dog needs surgery or something, I'm like, yeah, I want to help. I don't have money. I mean, I could retweet, but if I keep retweeting this, there's not going to be any more content on my feed for people to actually watch. So I try really hard to be very like diligent about helping in a way, but man, it is hard. I feel like that happens a lot though.
Yeah. And even like me going through like the mailbag request, a lot of people want artists at their weddings and
it's so interesting to me. Cause let me ask you this. Do you like, is there anything, any strange celebrity requests that you would have? Like if you could genuinely message someone and get a request. Is there something you would ask?
I don't think so.
That's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think about my wedding. I don't want any celebrities at my wedding. I don't, there's nothing I need them to do. And maybe it's because we're in this industry, right? Maybe that has jaded us some in that aspect. But even before then, I don't know that I would ever reach out to a celebrity and ask for anything.
I don't think so. I think maybe like later down the line when I have like a kid.
That's where I could,
they're like a fan of a celebrity. Like I could see myself reaching out for like a video, an autograph or something along those lines, or like a meet and greet.
Or like Make-A-Wish stuff. I think that's so cool.
Yeah. But I think me as an adult man, I don't think I'm reaching out to a celebrity like, hey, could you come to my party?
Like the wedding stuff is crazy to me.
Yeah. I get it because wedding, very special day. If you have a connection with a song or a performance would like make the thing for you, I get that, but it's a very hard thing to do.
I don't think I would know what to do if a celebrity came to my wedding. I'd be like, this is my day. This is not yours.
Yeah.
Oh man. No, I also, you know, I will tell you too, I've had a bit of a revelation. Is that the right word to use? Maybe you can tell me if it's the right word to
use. I'll let you know.
But just going to so many weddings lately, I used to, as a young girl, I used to want it all, right? I wanted the white picket fence, the house, the big wedding, all the things. And so much of that has changed over there. So I don't know why I'm surprised that that's also changed in the aspect of a wedding. But there is a part of me that's switching from ever wanting to have a big wedding to eloping or doing a small wedding at a courthouse.
Yeah.
Like, I have really transitioned over. Did that happen to you at all before you guys had yours?
Yeah, we went through very kind of different stages of, at one point we were like, do we just go to the courthouse and make it easier? Because we were also battling a time where you couldn't gather around. So trying to plan a wedding during a pandemic was tough enough. So we were like, let's just go to the courthouse. We were at that point of like, let's just do that. Like, we'll invite our family, fly them out. They come, we get married, that's it. We did another version where we just had it, like, in our parents' backyard. We were pursuing that one for a good amount of time until we realized it would get a little bit bigger, and then we're like, we just have to find a venue for it.
Oh.
But I think kind of taking away all, like, those other things, it kind of brings it back to, like, the most important thing is that you just get married. So, yeah, I can see that. Like,
do you, in over under $30,000 for you guys?
Under, yeah.
Significantly under?
I would say, yeah.
Okay. So you guys found a way to do it that it wasn't like it didn't break the bank super hard.
Yeah, we got lucky on the venue and then we kept the guest list relatively short, like 100 people.
Okay.
Which I think is...
Did you guys invite 100 or 100 showed up?
We invited 100.
Okay. How many? This is the thing. This is also a debate on social media. People are like, you will say like, okay, say you invite everybody so you get like more gifts or whatever, mm-hmm. or more money for a honeymoon, whatever it may be. And what happens if all of them actually then decide to show up? So like, were you guys worried like, oh, there might actually be 100 that come?
Yeah, I think it ended up being under because some people didn't come. Some people showed up that weren't invited.
I did not know that.
Some people just brought people.
What?
So we were like, okay, cool.
So what?
Yeah, it all worked out in the end because at the end of it, we just wanted to have a party.
Yeah.
And I felt like our whole wedding just had like a party vibe.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Your guys' wedding was amazing.
So I think after that, like, we didn't really care about the little things of like who's here and all those kinds of things. Like, it didn't really matter.
Yeah. But like looking back on it now, you're like, dang. Rude.
It was more like, I don't know who to address this thank you note to.
Well, we did mention on the show, too, that the wedding I had went to, how, like, somebody stole the purse, the mm-hmm. whole thing. I do like talking to some of the people that were also at the wedding. I do think over time you forget it because you're just happy it happened and it was over. Everybody had a really good time regardless of one thing that went off. Do you feel that way? Like looking back on your wedding, you're not really paying attention to the few things that didn't go 100% according to plan.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter once it's actually happening. Like as long as you get married that day, that's really it. And we tried not to pay attention or have like little details that we wanted to work in that were so, I feel like people get lost in sometimes.
Yeah.
Of like every little thing has to be perfect. Like by the end of it, we're just like, whatever.
Like, you're like, it's going to happen, whatever's going to happen.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
So if you, like, looking back, are you glad that you guys ended up doing that? Or do you wish you would have just got married at the courthouse?
I'm glad now, but I would have been totally fine with the courthouse.
Mm, interesting.
Because I think just going there, having just our family there and getting married, it would have been less of a stressful time during that because there was a lot of things that happened just in our life around that time that at one point we're like, are we going to be able to even pull this off? So I think for our well-being, it would have been a lot less stressful just to go to the courthouse and get married. But now that we're all out of it, it happened. Very happy the way it went down.
Okay, well, let me ask you in this way. If I were to be like, Mike, I'm going to get married. I'm not. Please don't message me. I'm not. I don't have mm-hmm. a ring. Nothing of that is happening. But if I'm like, hey, I'm going to get married, should I have a party like you guys did, which was so fun, or should I just get married at the courthouse? What would you tell me?
I would say, first of all, do you like parties?
I love parties. I love hosting parties is the problem.
Okay. Coming from somebody who likes hosting parties, I think you should have it.
Mm, okay.
Because I think if you like hosting parties, it's going to be the funnest party you've ever had to host. It's like the Ooh, ultimate yeah. because you are the center of it and it'll just be you getting to plan all the things for it. And so it's like the ultimate planning experience. Yeah. If you love having parties and planning parties, then yes. If you're like me, doesn't like being the center of attention, doesn't like having parties, that's why I would probably lean more towards courthouse.
Okay. Hey, it was very politically correct the way that you just went about that,
Cause
Mike.
Because I don't even like having birthday parties.
This is true. But you've gotten better at that.
I have because of my wife. Like last year when we rented out the movie theater and invited everybody, that was all her. Like I would have been like fine not doing anything. I don't even like going to like a birthday dinner or anything like that.
You're like, I just want to sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Watch a movie maybe.
I like seeing like Instagram comments, that's fine. But like when it comes to a party, I just don't really like them.
Oh, wow. Interesting. You've given me a lot to think about now here, Mike. And you're a pro. You've been married. You did. And I would say like if there's going to be a wedding that I have, it would be similar to you and Kelsey's. Not you had a lot of cool ones like culturally that like paid tribute, I guess you could say, to your culture. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's the right way to say that, but like you did things in there that were
try to incorporate both of our
incorporate, not paid tribute. Wow, Morgan, you're not dying. The culture is not dying. But yes, yeah, so like, but have a party. Like there is a part of me that wants to do a hybrid and like tell everybody to come to the wedding, but then when they show up, be like, we already got married. We're just drinking and having a good time.
Yeah.
There's a big part of me that wants to do that.
Because that's the fun part of it. Once everybody is just actually enjoying it and partying, that's the whole part you're going to remember, really.
Yeah.
And you want to keep the other part of it, like, as personal as possible.
Yeah, that ceremony is meant to be very personal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I want, like, 5,000 people.
Sometimes it's weird. I think the weird part for me was, like, going into it, I was worried about how emotional I was going to get. Because everybody's saying you get rushed with, like, all these things and you're going to cry up there. I thought I would be to the point of, like, I would be inconsolable. And I was worried about that. And I think I psyched myself out leading up to it because I'm like, if I am not able to get through my vows, it's going to be bad. So luckily, once I did see my wife walking down the aisle, I was overcome with like a sense of happiness that like tears didn't really form because I was so happy. It was like the happiest I'd ever been.
Yeah.
That I was like, am I wrong for not crying?
No.
Or am I just like, this is something I never thought would happen, that I didn't cry.
No, you just expressed it like a very foreign emotion for you.
Yeah.
You know, at least not in that heightened sense, right? Like, there's a different emotion. I think it's really cool.
But it is weird to experience that with all your family and friends.
Yeah,
there.
Everybody's standing there watching. I did say the one thing to my boyfriend, if he ends up being the one that I stay with, I'm like, there's only one request I have for a wedding, whatever I do, is that Remy has to be there. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dog, Remy. That's my only request. She has to be there, and everything else, I'm good. My family, Remy, cool. Whatever else you want to do, I can make it work. But that is my only request. So I have it. I'm not a bridezilla in the sense of at least prior to even getting engaged. I just want my dog and my family. Oh, man. But I appreciate the advice because I've been thinking about that recently. I think that just comes with as you keep getting older, too, when you're not married. It becomes a topic of conversation often. And when you tend to enough weddings, you're like, okay, I do want this or I don't want this, you know?
Yeah.
You start to figure it out pretty quickly. So I also really just want, like, some kind of mac and cheese bar situation. I don't know. Just weird food things to happen. I really enjoy that idea, too. So, but thanks for hanging out with me. We're all done. We don't have any more bits. We counted them all down, and we talked about lots of things. And I gave you a terrible game to play, but it was fun.
It was fun. I nailed it.
You did nail it. You got 10 for 10, or however many there were. But tell the people where they can find you, where they can listen to you, all that good stuff.
You can listen to my podcast, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, spoiler-free movie reviews, interviews with actors and directors. I'm about to talk to some of the people who worked on The Batman.
What?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, the twins in the movie and then also the production designer, the
wow.
person responsible for the Batmobile look in that movie, they'll be on an upcoming episode.
That's awesome. Great get there.
Yeah.
I mean, super cool. So make sure you guys check out that wherever you listen. And then where can they find you on Instagram?
It is Mike Destro on all the socials. DeeEstro.
And you're getting paid for reels now too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically what that means is y'all just go watch our reels. That helps us out, even if it's $1 of a reel.
Yeah.
You never know. And you can find me at WebGirlMorgan, all the things. And of course, The Bobby Bones Show at Bobby Bones Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, it's out there. Check out BobbyBones.com for some more content. Y'all, Mike, thank you so much.
Thank
Have a
you.
Great weekend. I will see you guys all later. Maybe I will see some of y'all in Austin today, whenever you, if you're listening to this podcast on Saturday. And if you're not, then just ignore that comment. Goodbye.
Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.